All right, how many football fans do we have in here? Been watching a lot of football. We got more to watch. Danny, are you recovered yet? All right. You can turn me down just a little bit, Corbin. I might start yelling. Well, yeah, Alabama lost. What? Yeah, watch out what you say now. Yeah, be careful. Tennessee won. I couldn't believe it. That's great. So now it's pro football time. Well, we still got the national championship to come next week. So that'll be a good time. But pro football, tell me your favorite pro football team, everybody. One, two, three. Cowboys are pretty loud over here. Anybody a Packer fan? A cheesehead? Kay's a cheesehead. She likes the Packers. There's a coach that coached for the Green Bay Packers for 9 seasons. He is iconic. The Super Bowl trophy is named after him. His name is? Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi is pretty amazing. He wasn't really a genius, but he was a really hard worker. And he stressed the fundamentals. One time, his Green Bay Packers lost to a team they should not have lost to. And the next morning, he called practice. So here's picture in the locker room. You got Vince Lombardi, who's not happy. You got all these football players out there who are afraid of this man. And he looks them in the eye. And he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." How rudimentary can you get? These guys have been playing for 15, 20 years. They know blocking and tackling like better than their own kids' names. These are pros. And this coach starts with the most rudimental, elementary truth. He doesn't stop there. He takes them outside. He says, "This is a sideline. This is an end zone. This is where we kick field goals. And he explains the most basic rules and how the game is organized. And he goes on to talk about how this position on defense plays and this position on offense is what his job is to do. Can you imagine what those professional football players felt like? I mean, seemed like this was below them, don't you think? They know all this stuff. Well, Vince Lombardi was all about fundamentals. This started a new tradition with Lombardi and his teams. The first practice of every season, he would give this same speech. "Gentlemen," with that rough voice, "this is our football." Actually became famous for that speech. It was all about going back to the basics. This is a football sermon. Okay? This is our football sermon. We're going back to the basics. We're going to look at the fundamentals. Vince Lombardi stressed blocking and tackling, and he said there's 3 things you need to do. He was all about winning. In fact, he was obsessed with winning. And he was a winner. He knew what his goal was to win. All right? So he said, there's 3 things we got to do. First of all, you have to know your position. All right? You got to understand your position. Number 2, you got to learn how to play it right. And number 3, you got to play it with all your might. There's some fundamentals that we need to look at, too. Today, as we start this new year, it's not about winning. For us, our goal is what's on the screen up here. This is our mission statement. Cordova Community Church exists to lead people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. This is our football right here. Been thinking about this purpose statement for a while. Notice the verbs in here. This verb phrase, leading people to grow. For some reason, God has just let that sit on me. And it's kind of been floating to the surface. And I'm trying to figure out, as the new senior minister, what is my job? What is my position? I need to know my position. I need to know how to do it right. And I want to do it with all my might. So this is our purpose, right? And this idea of fully developed followers of Jesus, what does that even mean? What does that mean? We get that idea from a couple of different verses, one in Colossians. Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's fully developed follower of Jesus. Right? Here's another one from Ephesians. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what a fully developed follower looks like. Do we have any fully developed followers in the room? Anybody? Wow. I guess we're failing to meet our goal, aren't we? This is a continual process. We will never be fully developed until we are with Jesus. That's when we're fully mature and fully understand and attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ is when we're with him. So we will never reach that point in this life. So we are never done maturing. We're never done developing. We're never done going back and trying to figure out how to do this Christian thing, this Christian life. And I think one of the best ways what we need to do is really go back to the life of Jesus. If that's who we're trying to imitate, all right? That's who we want to be like. We want to do the things Jesus did. We want to live like Jesus lived. Every church in the world has the same purpose. And that is to make more and better disciples. We get this from the Great Commission, all right? Where Jesus said, go and teach and baptize, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. Every church has the same overall mission, to reach, to seek and save the lost. And that's our goal too. And let's look how Jesus accomplished that. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. While you're turning there, this leading people to grow and to fully develop followers, I think includes everybody. Some people see the word leading and they think, oh, that's the leader's mission. That mission is for the leaders because the leaders lead people to grow. That is true. And if you're a teacher in this church, if you're a growth group leader, if you are, no matter what you're doing, if you're leading small groups of kids, working in the nursery or the preschool, you have the responsibility of leading those people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. If you are a parent, then you are leading your family into growing into fully developed followers of Jesus. If you are a big brother or big sister, you are leading. So everybody, and as we look at this, everybody is a leader. And everybody has the responsibility to help people grow and mature in Christ. So this is everybody. You get my point? It's not just the leaders, this is everybody. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 12. It's going to be on the screen if you don't have your Bible. So one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God, all night. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on the level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." In this section of Scripture, we see Jesus expressing three fundamentals that we also want to imitate. We're going to call it up, in, and out. The first was intimacy with God, or up. Jesus went to the mountainside and he prayed all night long. Mark says he got up early in the morning while the disciples were still asleep. He spent time with his Father, and Jesus always was doing this. He was always trying to go away and get away to himself and spend time with his Father and pray and listen to what the Father had to say. And this was the fuel to everything Jesus did. Jesus tells us over and over, he did nothing unless the Father told him to do it. So there was this intimate connection with his Father that he continually developed. He had this up relationship. Next, we see a community relationship with his believers. After praying, after listening to God, he comes down from the mountain and he gathers with his disciples. And he selects 12 of them, right, to be his apostles. And we know that he goes on from there, because there really were, he had 72 special followers. He narrowed that down to 12. And then he narrowed it down a little bit more to 3 special friends, close friends, Peter, James, and John. He spent more time with them. Jesus came down from the mountain. He gathered his disciples. He said basically this: you guys are going to be my growth group. You guys are going to be my small group. We're going to do life together. And they did life together. They went on road trips. They ate together. They spent the night in each other's homes. They laughed. They cried together. They learned. They watched Jesus. This was his small group. This was his community with his believers. Well, after he selects his 12, after he is up on the mountain, developing his continuing his development of his relationship with the Father, and after he has gathered his small group, his community of believers, it's time to go out. It's time to go out and influence the world. And from the passage we read, we see that people came from everywhere. The sick, the people with spirit, demon possessed by spirits, they all came and Jesus healed them. And then he taught them. And we ended with that last verse that said, "Blessed are you who are poor," right? Well, that was the beginning of a teaching section we know as Beatitudes. So Jesus healed, he helped, and he taught. He went out into the world, the hurting world around him. This is kind of what it looked like if you want to put it in a diagram. Oh, it didn't. There's supposed to be a triangle right there, but it didn't come up. Imagine a triangle. Yeah, we're going to get back to that. Oh, there it is. Your imagination is powerful. This is what it looked like, this triangle. Intimacy with God, the up relationship, the in with community and believers, and the out with influence the world around us. These are three fundamentals that Jesus practiced over and over in his life. These are the same three fundamentals. This is a football. that you and I are supposed to imitate. We're supposed to spend time with God, developing an intimacy with God in prayer, in studying the Word, in meditation, in other spiritual disciplines like fasting. We're supposed to develop our relationship with each other, with the community of believers. I think we do a pretty good job at that one. In fact, some of you sent comments last few weeks, and that was the one thing that stood out over and over again, was how loving and how much of a family this church is to you, and how much those relationships mean to you. And we need to focus on developing our influence with the world, the hurting world around us. There's people all around us who are not believers. Even if they are believers, they're hurting. And it's our job, just like Jesus, to reach out. Because we're supposed to do what Jesus did and live like Jesus lived. If you want to look in your bulletin, you'll see this diagram. Go ahead and open it up. We call these three things three vital relationships. They're vital. Well, what are vital signs, all right? Your respiratory rate, your blood pressure, your heart rate, and temperature. Thank you. Those are the four basic vital signs. And if one of those is out of whack, something's wrong, right? If my blood pressure is too low or too high, something is wrong with me. And the doctor's job is there to fix it, right? To help me fix it. I hate going to the doctor. Not as much as David Scott, but I hate going to the doctor. I tried to call in one of my prescriptions a couple weeks ago, and they said, I'm sorry that your prescription has expired, and so that you know what happens. You got to go see the doctor again, right? After a year, prescription's dead, you got to go renew it. I don't want to do that. It's time for my physical. It's time for my checkup. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. I don't like waiting in the waiting room for 45 minutes with a bunch of sick people. I don't like waiting in the examination room for another 30 minutes waiting to see the doctor. I don't like it when he tells me and asks me questions about my exercise and my diet. I don't want to answer those questions. And I really don't like it when that rubber glove goes on. I don't like going to the doctor. But I'm 50 years old. It's for my own good to go to the doctor. It's for my own good. So, every year, I go get a physical or a checkup. Well, today, I want us to examine ourselves. Instead of a physical, this is a spiritual. It's time for our spiritual. It's time for our checkup. We're going to measure our vital signs. Our three fundamental vital signs. Our intimacy with God, our community with believers, and our influence on the world around us. Now, you don't have to fill this out right now, but here's what I'd like for you to do. Before your growth group meets, I want you to plot on this line where you are. So 10 is excellent, right? I'm doing great. One is really weak in this area. So here's an example. So if I put my three dots up here, if I rate myself, and then I want to make this a triangle, all right? So you'll be doing that on your own before your growth group lesson, and you'll come with that to your lesson, to your group, and discuss this. Why did you rate yourself here or there? What can we do to help you improve that area? Now, that triangle that I just drew is out of balance. Now, if my temperature is great, right? 98.6 or whatever. It's 98.6. If my blood pressure is great, right? But one other vital sign is out of whack, then I'm out of whack. Same thing for these three vital relationships. They are vital because they are absolutely necessary to be maturing and developing in Christ. Vital relationships. So, this person is pretty strong in his community with believers. About average in his intimacy with God, but his influence on the world is pretty weak. This is an unbalanced Christian life. So I wonder, are you out of balance? Our leaders want to help you have a balanced life. The goal is to have, you know, to increase those weak areas. Now, there's Jesus and what he looks like. His triangle is off the chart in all three areas. We won't fully reach this until we see Jesus face to face. But our goal is to always be moving towards this. These three vital relationships that are absolutely, absolutely necessary for our development in Christ. So, this week, on that triangle, we want you to evaluate yourself. But I'd like you to grab a different color ink pen and evaluate the body here, the Christ, the body of Christ here. How would you evaluate our church in those three areas? Because that's going to be a little bit different than you personally, probably. Now, as a leader, it is my job to help us do better in these three areas. And remember, we're all leading somebody. We all have the responsibility of leading somebody. So we're all, this is all of our job description, to help each other have a balanced life and to strengthen our weak areas. And this doesn't just apply to how we lead believers. That would be all inward focused. This applies to the outward too, because we are leading everybody to grow in their relationship with Christ. It applies to if you've been a Christian for 50 years, you have some room to grow closer to Christ, be more like Jesus. If you're a brand new Christian, then you have lots of space, lots of margin to grow into imitating Jesus. And this applies to not yet believers, because they're far from God. And it is our responsibility to lead them to grow to become fully developed followers of Jesus. So this applies to everybody as leaders. It applies to everybody and who we're trying to reach and who we're trying to help. So I really think Lombardi's approach is going to work for us. We need to define our goal. His was winning. He hated to lose. Our goal is to imitate Jesus. To do the things Jesus did and to live the life Jesus lived. That's our goal. And we need to do three things. We need to know our position. So knowing your position means to take a look at yourself. Examine yourself. Give yourself a spiritual. You need to know how to do it right, how to grow, and the leaders need to, it's our job to help you know how to do that and to help. I'm not saying develop a bunch of programs. Programs, if you don't know what programs is, kind of a nasty word around here. We try to avoid adding stuff to our already busy schedule. So I'm not talking about programs, but I'm talking about growing. Helping each other grow to be more like Jesus. It doesn't have to be a program to do that. So we need to come up with some ways to help us to think out of the box in all three categories. So we need to We need to know our position, right? We need to know how to improve. And then we need to do it with all our might. And I'm asking you in 2015 to get on board with this, if you're not. To get back on board if you've kind of wavered. Let's focus on these three areas, these three fundamentals in our life. As senior minister, that's so weird for me to say. People keep asking me, has anything changed? I'm like, no, I'm still doing youth work. I'm still leading worship. I'm still doing this and this and this. So in some ways, it hasn't changed at all. But in some ways, it has changed because I feel the weight of leading the church. It is my responsibility and my privilege to cast vision for the church, to paint what the future is going to look like. I've been praying, God, give me a vision for what this is supposed to be, what we need to do. I don't have a plan yet. God's not given me anything, but He has given me one word. This one word keeps rising to the surface. It rises to the surface in my prayer, as I read, and as I talk to people. This one word, I think, is from God. And that one word is intentionality. I don't know what that means yet. I think He wants us to be more intentional about how we do these three things. This church has always been known, and I love it for this, as a low-key, right, informal group of believers with lots of mercy and lots of grace. Some people have called us, I asked Chad and Amy Westerholm, I asked Chad, there are missionaries in Mozambique, to answer the same questions I sent out to you. And one of Chad's responses was, you guys don't know what you have. It's a very special place there. We have never seen a place where people love each other like you love each other. We've never seen a place that will accept hurting people, especially people who've been hurt by other churches, and help heal them and help bring them along to where they're ready to go out and do something different and to lead, either in your church or you send them out to help lead in other churches. He said, I've never seen a church like that. You need to capitalize on that. Our church is known for our loving relationships. We scored highest on that survey we took in loving relationships. That's who we are. And who we are is this informal group that does life together. Sometimes I feel like there's not much intentionality. Not much. It's hard to put this into words. Sometimes I feel like our discipleship is by osmosis. It's by osmosis. We hang out together. Nothing wrong. Discipleship happens when you're hanging out with each other. It happens. But I'm excited about moving forward, about being more intentional in these three fundamentals. This is a football. We need to go back to the fundamentals. We need to focus on how we can be fully developed followers of Jesus. By focusing on intimacy with God, our community with believers, and our influence with the world. Thank you for listening today. If you need anything for us to pray about, right? If you have something like that, if you want to talk to our shepherds about anything that's going on in your life, they're going to be back in the back with me. We're going to stand and sing a song, and we invite you to come on back there and pray with us and share with us. Let's stand and sing.